Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
A little after 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Less than an hour to go till the NFL trade deadline. I don't hear any sounder, so I guess we're not checking in with Dan Ball for any moves for the Patriots. So keep waiting.
As far as this teardown for the Jets goes, I mean, if they have anything resembling competent GM and coach work over the next couple of years, 2026, two first, two seconds, 2027, three first round picks.
Yeah, so you might end up with a Sauce Gardner, a Garrett Wilson, a Quinnen Williams, and a
yep. Breece Hall.
Yeah, like you might end up with good young players like we thought they had a couple years ago that was going to start the next great era of Jets football. It'll all be about the quarterback, and we'll see where that goes. But it is 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson is here. Hey. The vest day. Oh, it must be fall. Vest time.
It is. It is fall time, baby.
You a vest guy?
I'm a huge vest guy.
Yeah.
Love the vest.
Got to have the room for the guns to move around.
You got your arms. If you ever watch me work out, I always go sleeveless.
Really?
So I just like my chest has to be warm. My arms can be exposed. So okay. That's how I like to feel when I'm working out. And so I take it over into my athleisure wear as well.
Andy, are you a cutoff sweatshirt guy when you're working out?
You got a smirk on your face. What do you got? Some rebuttal?
He's in a mood.
Let's go.
Do you not have the proper caloric intake over there?
That's good.
I need a bar?
We're good.
No, I like when I learn little snippets of the Ted Johnson.
Sleeveless workout, huh?
Big time. I'm very particular about what I wear when I work out. I have to wear. I wear the same combination. It's very odd. They're different sizes. The compression shorts are mediums. The shorts on the outside are 2X. The compression sleeveless shirt is a medium. The shirt that goes over the compression shirt is an XL. It's a whole thing, man. Yeah,
I've noticed.
Yep.
Don't threaten me with a good time, Ted.
Three
Johnson.
Pairs of socks on each foot.
At the same time?
Golly. Yes. Yep. So very particular, very OCD about my workout attire.
I was actually fine with all of it. It all made sense. Can you just give me real, like a 10-second, why three pair of socks?
Because my feet have to feel secure in the shoe. If my foot is moving at all, like even a little bit, I feel uncomfortable.
His foot wants a hug, Andy. What's wrong with a foot hug?
And does this go back to football?
You go, yeah.
You wore three pair when you played?
I wore two pair and I wore orthotics. So I put something in the shoe with two pairs of socks. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
You never want your foot sliding in the shoe ever.
Okay.
So it's that's how I do it, yeah.
Hey, Ted, while we're here, can I ask you a quick question about playing in cold weather?
Sure.
Eric Smith, the safety for the Jets, told me a long time ago that to deal with the extreme temperatures in certain games, he would put chili powder and Vaseline in his socks or his gloves. Yep. Is that true?
So guys would wear Vaseline, put it on their hands, and then put latex gloves over their hands, and then put the football glove over the latex glove. Mm. And that's how they would play football. I have done that before. It does work. It keeps your hands warm, believe it or not.
Hmm.
Very strange, right?
Yeah. I have to try that sometime.
So, Vaseline. Latex glove, glove over the latex glove. There you go.
You learn something every day from Teddy J here on WEEI Afternoons. It is 3:07:02. That means it's time for the three-point stance.
Green 19!
It's the three-point stance.
Just count to three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good.
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Dot tip scores! Ties it 3-3!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or your foot just needs a hug, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You said you had a revelation for your three-point stance.
I did.
So are you ready for that?
I am.
All right, here is 60 seconds for that revelation. Go ahead.
So like so many of us probably were, I was watching Monday Night Football last night. I even watched a little bit of the pregame show. Sit down with Zach Prescott leading into Dak Prescott, not Zach, his cousin, leading into Cards and Cowboys. And there was so much going on in this game. Kyler Murray's hurt. Jacoby Brissett is starting. Jacoby Brissett is playing well. They're calling for Jacoby Brissett to be the permanent quarterback. Marvin Harrison plays better with Jacoby Brissett than he does with Kyler Murray. And for the Cowboys, Dak Prescott was talking about how his owner has admitted to him when it gets too quiet in Cowboys Nation, sometimes he just throws bleep out there to create headlines and make stuff exciting. And that made me think, do the Patriots have one of the most stable trios of power in the National Football League? And what I mean by that is the owner, the coach, and the quarterback. Kyler Murray's a $200 million backup right now in Arizona. The Cowboys, the coach, the quarterback is like, the owner's crazy. Sometimes I just have to put my earmuffs on. We saw it in New York where the coach was, I mean, the quarterback was being called out by the owner. And I started to think, if you compare owners, coaches, and quarterbacks, who are the most stable teams in the NFL? I think you'll find the Patriots measure up quite nicely. In fact, the best option I can come up with that's similar is the Broncos. New ownership, Sean Payton, and Bo Nix. But that's a good thing to have stability at those three positions, and the Patriots have it.
I mean, aren't we ignoring the Kansas City Chiefs?
To some degree, yes, except the coach is getting older. There's some stability questions there as how much longer will Andy Reid do this. Also, the ownership there is a little old school. They don't do well, for example, in the NFLPA survey about how you treat your
players.
Neither
do the Patriots.
No, I know, yeah. But they're fixing that. Your boy Mike Vrabel is fixing that. Him and Stretch have sat down, and they're fixing that.
No more bologna sandwiches,
It's his billions of dollars that are being spent?
Well, you know, you need to rub the owner the right way so that he uses his billions of
dollars. You realize you're boasting about a team being, like, the most stable when literally the last 25 years prior, it was the most unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And the winning was there, but you think the head coach and the quarterback and the owner were, it was all, you know,
no, I think they
harmonious.
Are now. No, I think they are now. That's
yeah,
my point.
Yeah, for 1 year, this 1 year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could ebb and flow. Who see, you know, attitudes and egos and successes and Robert turning down, but it's not the poop show that I think it is in a lot of other places. And I don't think it will be. And I think at the center of it is your guy. I think Vrabel is going to be very good as the intermediary, sort of the ownership, he goes to that flight, and then he goes down to the players and everything in between. I have a lot of faith in your guy, and so he's a key part of that. But I do. I think if you look around the league, your top 3, 4, 5 in most stable ownership, head coach, quarterback trios.
Yeah, and I mean, that was at the centerpiece of a slightly successful double dynastic 6 Super Bowl winning run for 20 years. So that should always be the benchmark. And the model. Who's the GM in Kansas City? I know Borgonzi used to be the assistant, and he left.
Veach, I believe.
Yeah. Brett Veach. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty stable. Yeah, they could be a little old school about things, but it continues to work, and they can, you know, they develop talent, Teddy. They can still rush the passer, defend the pass.
The front office, I mean, you know, Andy Reid's sons, you know, it's not like it's been perfect over there.
Oh, nobody's going to be perfect. Issues, so. Nobody's going to be. And I think a lot of people would say, hey, how come you didn't bring up the Eagles? I think the Eagles are a weird situation. I'm not sure how a lot of people feel about the quarterback. I'm not sure how the coach and the quarterback are aligned or not aligned. But
how about the Packers, Andy?
Well, that's weird because they don't have an owner.
Yeah, so I was going to say. So you have LaFleur, who I think is an underrated coach. You have Gutekunst, who's the general manager. You have to always make sure you say that carefully. And then you have Packers fans.
Yeah, so that's a weird one because they don't have an owner. And also the coach, I'm not as big a fan of his as you are. That's a guy that seems
to
go
Shanahan boat.
He goes 13-3 a lot and then loses a home playoff game. I don't like guys that go 13-3.
I mean, that's basically what the Green Bay Packers have done for a long time, though.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, only one Super Bowl win with Aaron Rodgers there.
I used to blame it on Rodgers, but he's gone, so now who do I blame it on? Well, apparently it's the coach.
So what was your thought on the Denver Broncos being the closest comparison?
Well,
you know, they had that weird transition from the Bolin family when Pat Bolin passed away, and then it turned into some sort of fight with his heirs, and then it got sold. So now they have Boku money at that end, and you bring in Sean Payton and Bo Nix. I think Drake May is better than Bo Nix, but Bo Nix went to the playoffs as a rookie quarterback, mm-hmm. and now he's got the same record as you as a second-year quarterback. Maybe at some point I just have to say, Bo Nix does a really good job leading the Broncos.
They have a much better defense than our defense.
Oh, they do, yeah.
So, I mean, that's helping him a lot, too.
But he's made plays when he's had to.
Yeah. But they also have a really good defense, too.
He is, Andy. It's a good point. I don't think we give Bo Nix clutch or winning time points the way we should, because we say things like, yeah, it's Sean Payton. Yeah, it's a good defense. Like, he does come up when they need him to.
Yep. I don't think he is consistently as good as, like, a Drake May, as an MVP candidate. But when he needs to, he makes a play. And I think that's all Sean Payton really needs him to do, especially as Ted points out, when you have a defense like that.
Text line, always on it, like Hawks, multiple mentioning Robert Kraft and rubbing in the same sentence is
there
probably not your best call.
Yeah, we don't need to do that.
No, and you just did, so I would probably recommend not doing it again. Fitzy, are you ready for your 3-point stance?
You know what? Let's talk a little football. Let's get hyped for a big game coming up.
Let's do it indeed with 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, Stan, can I have a little bit of that Good Morning Football action from today?
It's Draker Mayfield with an M-A-Y-E field. It's perfect. What the hell's going on out here?
You're welcome, everybody. We got to get a t-shirt.
We do, yeah.
We got to get a t-shirt for that one.
That would be Kyle Brandt and the Good Morning Football crew this morning coming up with the portmanteau nickname for Sunday's showdown in the Pirate Ship in the End Zone Stadium, once formerly occupied by Tom Brady. That's right, Patriots at the Buccaneers, New England against Florida. Who will plunder who? And I got to tell you, the hype train has officially rolled out. They're spending time on trade deadline Tuesday talking about this matchup of two potential MVP candidates and what honestly is the closest thing that I can think of to being a potential Super Bowl matchup. Now, you did have Lions at the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago. Lions have stumbled since. The Chiefs have stumbled since. But both of these teams have, I believe, correctly, only two losses on the season, each with MVP candidates, both whose coaches have a lot of shine on them as well. They've each had a couple injuries, but are coming into this game about as healthy as they can be, minus Mike Evans. I don't think I'm blowing too much sunshine up everybody's football backside.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
When I say, get ready for one of the biggest games of the year Sunday. You got Hello Friends and Romo on the call. Folks, we may have a Super Bowl preview in Pat's Buccaneers.
Yeah. Good. We'll see.
It's time to get hyped.
I don't feel like Ted's feeling it.
I don't know. I mean, it's two teams that are, 6-2 and 7-2. So
it would kind of stun me. It wouldn't stun me if either one of these teams made the Super Bowl, but if that combo together, I feel like those would both be surprise Super Bowl participants.
I would say so.
Especially, I don't know if we have a lot of other AFC. So. I'm not sure if we have any other AFC, NFC matchups along the slate the rest of the way that we could point to and say, you know what, that too could be. We haven't had many. We've had some games of the year opening the week one with Ravens at Bills. We had Bills Chiefs last Sunday as well. But like, this is lumber versus lumber. You haven't had many of these thus far. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch because it's going to tell us a lot about both and if they really even belong in that conversation.
And we found out that Drake May is a big fan of Baker Mayfield. So for whatever that's worth in this game.
Yeah, and okay. Is Baker Mayfield as big a fan of Drake May?
I don't know.
I believe that's Draker Mayfield.
I didn't care for that. I was actually confused by that.
Well, you see, because his name is Drake, and the other's name is Baker.
It was like a Wheel of Fortune before and after kind of pairing. Yeah,
it was the hingent of names of two quarterbacks that are playing on Sunday.
And,
People hate it when I do it, too.
That's true. Yeah, and Kyle Brandt, I'm sure, got some love for it. Okay, so we'll leave that one there. Big one coming up on Sunday for sure. You get the Romo and Nance treatment on CBS. Mm-hmm. Ted Johnson, are you ready?
I'm ready, bud.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So the Celtics shot 51 threes yesterday. 51 threes. They made 11, so that's a 21% percentage of hitting your threes. Not very good. In fact, that's terrible. So let me just give you some of the stats that would bear out that the shooting of the threes, which is Joe Mazzulla's favorite stat, is basically three-pointers attempted. I'm going to give you some stats that would say that this is the worst thing you can do for this team. Right now, the Celtics rank 30th in pace of play, which is weird because I thought they were going to be running this more. Yeah, I'm running more this season. That's all we were told, and yet they are dead last in pace of play. They rank 30th in free throw differential. Okay, so it's the opponent's free throws attempted versus the Celtics' free throws attempted. They rank 30th in defensive rebounding, dead last in defensive rebounding, and they also rank 29th in 3-point percentage. At right now, they are 31% as a team shooting 3 points. So all those 3-pointers. Leads to a bad rebounding team, a bad free throw differential team because you don't get rebounds when you shoot threes and you do not get fouled when you shoot free throws. And the pace of play is dead last in the NBA. And they, when they do shoot the threes, they're one of the worst, almost the worst shooting team in the NBA at shooting threes. So I say to you, Joe Mazzulla, why so many threes?
I say that too, but... maybe just more generally. Why indeed?
Yeah, you're not a fan. You're a bit of a hater. What happened to, am I wrong? Didn't we talk about, or sometimes I have these dreams. Didn't we have a preseason game where we were talking about Scal had brought up some stat that they were having the most possessions or something, or fourth most, like they were up there in terms of possessions because they were pushing the ball. They were running. Yeah. They were doing more. And then it got to regular season, and we just went back to old ways.
Went back to the old ways, I guess, yeah. I thought it was going to be a total shift in pace. I thought it was going to be up and down, up and down. It is not. I'm kind of shocked to see that they are 30th in pace. The Seas only have two players in the top 100 in three-point shooting percentage.
Yeah, they've been bad.
They're terrible. So, obviously, you got your boy Peyton Pritchard, who's shooting 21% from threes, and you got Derek White shooting 26% from three. So those two guys are really throwing off the average. But I just the shooting of the threes is, it doesn't favor what I think are their strengths, which is athleticism, moving the ball, and they're not good at rebounding. So you don't want to shoot as many threes. You want to get in the paint more, and they're not doing any of that. So it's just an odd season so far for the Celtics. Last night was pretty maddening.
So do you think he just isn't really acknowledging the roster and the team he has? Or is he just so set in his ways that he's like, yeah, we've missed threes before. We'll get hot at some point, and then all these haters will be watching the game and loving JB for three.
I just wonder if he can shoot other types of offenses. Does he, like, you know, is it so simple? Like, he literally just is like, we got to shoot a bunch of threes. And that's going to be my team, and get rebounds. Okay, we got to get rebounds. And
how the hell is that coaching? All right, guys, just run around and shoot a bunch of threes. Like, it's not working. They're pressing right now. That's what it really feels like to me, Ted. They're pressing. Everyone is trying to make up for the lack of size, the lack of offensive talent, and the lack of Tatum that's on this team. And you've got Jaylen Brown and right now, like, Derek White shooting 26%. That's 13% below his career average.
They don't know how to pivot to something else. Okay, the threes aren't falling. What's the next strategy? What can we get some backdoor cuts? Can we do some high screens? I don't see any shift in philosophy when their main philosophy is not working. Can we try something different? It doesn't seem like he wants to do anything different, or does he know how to do anything different? We've questioned whether, you know, he's confident in putting impound plays, and that's why he's so reluctant to call timeouts at the end of games, because he doesn't have confidence in putting an inbound play. You just worry about the coaching at this point, that they don't know how to maximize the abilities of the players that they have.
Absolutely, and they are 3-5, which basically means you're about 10% into the season. So I know it's still relatively young, but at some point you're looking up at the rest of the East, and you're not a playoff team, and you're kicking away games, and you're not shooting well. How long do you wait for it to come around. 617-779-7937. Squeeze in a couple phone calls here. Let's go to Brad in Warwick. He has a thought on those very Celtics. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
First of all, Ted, I got a whole new appreciation for you for your vest take.
Oh, thank you.
Vest is clutch for working outside in the fall and winter.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Very underrated. But the Celtics, I don't see spending a lot of time picking apart what they're doing wrong. I think the real problem is everyone's being asked to play like a rung and a half above where they are comfortable. And so you need Tatum back, and you need another legit, not a star, but you need a legit front court NBA starter. Until Brad Stevens gets a chance to wave his wand, I'm not expecting much special from this team. All right, peace, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call, Brad.
The only thing I'll say to that, Brad, it's just, okay, so they don't have the personnel, so what are we going to not talk about the Celtics this year because they don't have the personnel?
Just give up.
Until they get Jason Tatum back and they get a new guy here, let's not talk about the Celtics. We got to talk about the Celtics. These are the guys they thought they had a decent team, a chance of, you know, at least maybe being a top five, you know, seed in the East. And right now they're hugely underperforming. They're like 12th in the East right now. So I just think you can squeeze more juice out of this than they've been able to at this point.
And the interesting point that he brings up too, guys, is the need for somebody in the front court. Obviously, their rebounding hasn't been very good, but isn't it fair to say that the biggest concern right now is the fact that they can't hit shots, something they're supposed to do? I would say as much as they've been out-rebounded to holy hell, and they cannot win when they get out-rebounded. I think they're 0-5 when they lose that battle or something like that. It's the shooting. It's the thing you're supposed to be built on this year. That's the biggest concern.
But shooting comes and goes for every team. What can you like rely on night in, night out? Effort, rebounding, attacking, getting to the ball, ball movement.
When we
pace.
Talk about ball movement, you're ball talking movement. About the movement of the ball.
That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. So I just, there's the shooting. It's like shoot better. Okay, well, there's going to be nights when teams aren't shooting good. And what do you do when the ball's not falling through the hoop? What do you adjust to? And they're not doing any adjustments to that.
But do they really even have, I think it's a fair question. Do they even really have like one or two great shooters? Like you look at Golden State when it was the Splash Brothers, like you had two or three of the best shooters of the last 25 years. So no wonder why they would just make it rain from the outside on a regular basis. You wouldn't look at this team and say like, man, they got a bunch of shooters on this squad. Like it's Pritchard kind of, but he's an auxiliary bench player. Derek White intermittently. You're forcing a style of basketball that I don't believe fits or is conducive to the talent level on the team.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I would just say even their supposed known shooters aren't shooting very well. Right, that's
correct.
Supposed to be Pritchard, Derek White, and Sam Hauser off the bench. Hauser had that one great game, but last night he wasn't good. And Derek White and Peyton Pritchard basically haven't been good all year. So you have issues. We'll continue to take your phone calls on the other side, 617-779-7937. And up next, it's time for Ted Johnson to break down that one-point win that felt like a loss to some. What did Ted think about Patriots-Falcons? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.